With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Not Another Mummy Podcast. I'm Alison Perry and you're listening to episode 18. My guest today is a lady with an utterly inspiring story. Jo Tuchiner-Sharp suffered a brain hemorrhage and then she had to have a 6-hour operation to remove a blood tumour on her brain. As she recovered, she came up with a concept for a new business that would help and support children who were separated from their parents for whatever reason, and it would also help charities and hospices at the same time. Her kids' clothing line, Scamp and Dude, launched into Liberty. It's been featured in Vogue, Grazia and Sunday Times Style, and it's going from strength to strength. It was absolutely amazing to chat to such an incredible lady who's been through a life-changing experience, come out the other side, and used it to help others. So I hope you enjoy listening to this. Welcome, Jo, to the podcast.
Thank you.
So this is a wee bit different because usually I chat to a mum about a topic that feels quite universal and it's something that listeners might have experienced themselves. But with you, I feel like your story is fairly unique to you, but I still really wanted to chat to you because I really feel like it's such an amazing, inspiring story and... It's a story that I think should be told as many times as possible. So that's why I wanted to have you on as a guest.
Thank you.
So we're sat here in your gorgeous home, aren't we? The Christmas tree is up.
Last night it went up.
We've got Christmas music playing.
Christmas lights weren't working, so we put on and they didn't work. So that was a bit of a fail. I did say to Sunny, I'll go quickly on the way back from... Before I pick you up, I'll go and get some Christmas lights. So yeah. Don't worry, they'll be on when you get home.
It's not Christmas if there's not something going wrong, though.
Exactly,
surely,
yeah. You know. Real life.
Exactly. So yeah, you're a mum of two, Sunny and Jude,
yes.
Aren't you? And you used to run a beauty PR company.
Yes.
And now you're doing something completely different.
Yeah.
And you had quite a life-altering experience that led you to start Scamp and Dude. So we should say that Scamp and Dude is your... currently the company that you own and run.
Yes.
How would you describe Scamp and Dude?
It's a kids and grown-up clothing brand, basically. Vogue called it our favourite new clothing brand, which I'm like,
really?
Kids clothing brand. So that I was very chuffed about, obviously. But it's superhero inspired and it's all about giving kids an extra sense of security when they need it. So it deals with separation anxiety. Our slogan is a superhero has my back. So it's telling kids that a superhero is watching over them when they're not with you and when they can't see you.
Yeah. So whatever happens, someone is watching over them.
Someone's always watching over them, keeping them safe. Yeah.
And you've managed to create, I mean, you're wearing one of your sweatshirts right now. I love how on brand you are.
The new one with the neon.
I know. I love the neon piping. It's gorgeous. But you've managed to create a design that both adults and kids love, which must be a fairly hard thing to do.
Well, that was one of the things when I was designing them that I thought I like it when I buy something for the kids and I absolutely love it, but that they love it too. And that's quite hard because often they want something that you think, oh, crikey, yeah. I'm not loving that.
Yeah.
So that was an aim that I wanted to make sure that both would love it. And initially I wasn't going to do grown-ups clothes. I was just doing kids clothes. But then when I designed the leopard and lightning bolts, so we have this, our signature print is a leopard print with lightning bolts. So it's super, super power infused leopard print. And that's our most kind of famous print. And when I was designing that and doing, creating the kids' clothes, I just looked at them and thought, oh my goodness, I want to wear them so badly. So I actually launched a couple, and I didn't put much kind of pressure on the fact that I'd done those. It was just the fact that I wanted them. And they have been the biggest surprise because they have gone utterly crazy.
Really?
And, I mean, they've been worn by Robbie Williams, Billy Piper, Liv Tyler. We've had all sorts of amazing people wearing these sweatshirts. But I've gone, oh, my goodness, so-and-so's in it now. Emma Willis was on TV doing a show, and she was wearing my sweatshirt. All these people messaging me going, oh, my goodness, put the telly on.
That's
Emma
amazing.
Willis is in your sweatshirt. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I didn't realise how popular the women's would be. That's been a big surprise, a lovely surprise.
But. Yeah, really lovely. I mean, I know so many people who've got one, and it's definitely been on my list for quite a while. I've been like, oh, I really must get right to ordering one of those. They're so, so nice. So let's go back to the start. Mm. Tell me about the moment that you realised something was wrong health-wise with you.
So it was 2 years ago. So I had decided to sell up with my PR company. So I set up a PR company 10 years ago, a beauty PR company. And then it had come to the time where I'd got my two kids and it just wasn't working anymore. So I decided to sell up, basically. And it was very stressful kind of going through that. And then the next thing I knew, I just had a really bad headache. And my husband kept saying, go to the doctors, you must go to the doctors. And I was going, oh, it'll be nothing. So whenever it's you don't never take it that seriously.
Yeah.
And I remember I was, after I decided to sell my PR company, I was going to launch a skincare line initially. A friend of mine is a big beauty blogger. We were going to do it together. So I was busy working on that, and I was really excited to be starting something new, and I was just really, and I just got some information through that I've been waiting for, so I was like, right, but I couldn't do it because my head was hurting so much. One of my eyes wouldn't open properly, and I just, and that, because I wasn't working, I knew that something was wrong, because I'm a real kind of worker, and I was like, I'm not even wanting to open that email, even though I know there's something important in it, I think something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I called the doctor, and the doctor said, right, you need to come in straight away. And it was raining, and I still remember walking to the doctor, because it was very, I felt surreal, I felt weird. It was almost like an out-of-body experience, walking to the doctor's, one eye half shut, not feeling very odd. I got to the doctor's, and they said, okay, it looks like it might be meningitis, you need to get to the hospital.
Oh, you must have been so, like, panicked.
Well, I still thought, oh, it probably won't be. I don't know, I'm always very kind of, oh, it won't be, but yeah, all right, I'll go to the doctor's. So I just came back home and said to my husband, right, I've got to go to the hospital. They want me to go straight away. You stay here with the kids. It'll be fine. I'm sure it's nothing. So he was like, oh, my God, I'll take you. So they dropped me off. He came back and put the kids to bed. And then the hospital, to cut a long story short, they started treating me for meningitis, sent me for a CT scan, and then put me in a room on my own. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, they came in, woke me up and said, do you have a history of cancer in your family? We've found a lump on your brain. And that was one of the worst moments throughout the whole thing, because I was lying there in this dark room on my own. Mm. She said that, then she felt my breasts and my lymphs, just because she said it's brain tumours were often secondary cancer, so there could be cancer somewhere else. And
they knew at that point that it was cancer?
No, they didn't know that at that point what it was. They just knew there was a lump on my brain, and they would try to think what it could be.
Yeah.
So then she said, we might need to do a full body scan, but we'll do it in the morning. Mm. And then she walked out.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was just there, then wide awake all night, thinking, I remember just thinking my life has changed forever at this moment, because I have no idea what's going to happen. Mm. And thinking about the boys and thinking about how on earth do I tell my parents, do I tell my husband? And then I didn't want to tell him till the morning, because I didn't want him to, he was at home with the kids, and I didn't want him to be panicking and bring the kids to the hospital, know what to do. So I just messaged in the morning saying, you could just come in. And he walked in, as I've got about 8 doctors all around me at the bottom talking about different options, that saying, we don't know what it is at the moment. It could be a brain tumour, it could be a blood tumour. We can see you've had a brain hemorrhage, so we're going to have to keep you in, make sure. We need to work out what we're going to do. We're going to try and transfer you to the Queen Square Hospital, which is they're the specialists in neurology and neurosurgery.
Yeah.
So, and Rob walks in at that point as I'm just crying, and they're saying we could look at it might be radiotherapy, but it might be surgery. And then Rob walks in at that moment, which was, I just feel so bad on him that I remember, forget his little face. So then, basically, I had to wait and see. They didn't have any beds at Queen's Square, the hospital there. And I completely forgot that I had private health insurance at this point because I was just in shock and panicking. So we were sent home. I was in hospital about 3 or 4 days, and then they sent me home. One awful bit was I had to tell my mum and dad, obviously, that something was wrong. I kept saying, I'm not going to tell them until I know it definitely is something wrong. Mm. I don't know why I thought a lump on your brain could possibly be okay, but I just kept going, just in case it just turns out, just wait. Because my mum had had an operation on her foot and was in Wales, in the middle of nowhere, somewhere where she could see this beautiful railway and having a relaxing time. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't want to ruin their holiday. Like, this is just... I just don't want to tell them until I really know.
It's crazy that you were thinking like so much about them when actually you had all this to deal with yourself.
Yeah, I just didn't want... She'd gone through a lot and I thought, oh, the last thing she needs is this. And then I called... my sisters kept saying, let us call them. And I said, no, I want them to hear my voice because I want them to know I'm okay. Like, yeah. I don't want them to be thinking, you know, is she dying? What's happening?
Yeah.
So I called them. The reception was terrible, so it's cutting off. And my phone was running out of battery. So I was literally trying to be as quick as I can. Spoke to Dad. He was on a bridge somewhere trying to get reception. And so I told him what was happening. And I said, right, so you tell Mum and I'll speak to you. And he was like, right, we're coming home and I'll call you properly. Then the phone cut off and then Mum rang. So I answered it and I said, look, Dad knows everything, but I'm in hospital and I need to be quick. But Dad knows everything, but they found a lump on my brain. But I need to be quick because I might die any second. But I meant my phone might die any second,
goodness.
Not me.
Oh my goodness, that is the worst mistake to make.
My poor mum. And she still can't. I've tried to joke about that since 2 years on. She can't joke about it.
She's not there yet.
I'm not there yet. No, I'm not there yet.
Oh my goodness, Joe.
Awful.
Oh.
Awful, awful. I'll never use that phrase again when my phone's running out of battery. I'm like, my phone is running out of battery.
Yes.
It's not dying.
No.
Anyway, so then I was put to a specialist and had to see him and see what was going on. So the bleed had stopped, so that was a good thing. But I knew then that if you have a hemorrhage like that, you're more than likely to have another one. So I could have had another one at any point, and I also could have had seizures. So I wasn't allowed to have a bath on my own. I wasn't allowed to go up ladders. All these different things. We had to just suddenly go, okay. They were like, just keep the door open. If you have a bath, then your husband has to keep checking on you because a lot of people have a seizure and drown.
Right.
And I had to then wait for, I think it was 6 weeks, because they wanted to see if it grew, because at this point they didn't know if it was cancer. They didn't know what it was. So I was very much thinking, oh my goodness, I might have another hemorrhage at any point, and that if it's a bigger one, that's it, I'm dead. It's like a time bomb in my head. And it was approaching Christmas, and I was just thinking, oh, I'm just going to do as many nice things as I can. I felt really poorly after the hemorrhage. The blood goes into your meninges around the water around your brain, and you feel dreadful, which is why they thought it was meningitis. The symptoms are the same.
Mm.
So I felt quite weak and quite unwell. So Jude was in nursery because I couldn't. He was only one at the time, and that was quite exhausting for me to have him all day, every day. And Sonny was in nursery 3 days a week. He hadn't started school then. But on the 2 days I had him out, I would try and do as many special things as I could, but I would tie his arm to mine, because if we were out and about, I'd think, what if I collapse? Like, I was just thinking I could lose him. Like, someone could take him.
No one will know that he's
yours.
No one
will know he's mine. Yeah. So I'd tie our arms together and just pretend we were playing this nice game. And we went to South Bank one day and went on the carousel. And every time I see that, I look at it and think, oh my goodness, because I really was thinking it might be the end, so I was trying to do all these lovely things. So we went back to my mum and dad's and had a really lovely special Christmas with them. It was really emotional, but it was very it was nice. The date was very much looming, but we just tried to have a really nice time. Same with New Year, that was odd as well. I had some of my closest friends around the table and my sister, and it was, when it got to midnight, it was very emotional because everyone knew. It was like this elephant in the room. Everyone was kind of going, oh my God. Then saying goodbye to the children was really hard. When I went into surgery, I suddenly went to stay with my sister. So my sister lives in Shropshire. He went and had a week with her and thought he was going on an adventure, but a week without his mummy and daddy was obviously odd.
Yeah.
So we'd sent him off and tried to make it really exciting, and you're going on a lovely adventure with Auntie Sadie and it's going to be really great fun. But I think he could sense something was a bit odd. He was three, well, he was nearly four. And we got him in the car all excited, and then as soon as I shut the door and I could see, I was waving goodbye, it was like, oh God, oh, this is hideous. Then had the surgery, and thank God it worked. So I had to have a whole piece of my skull removed. They took it out. They still don't know what it was, but I had to wait a few days then. So I was cut from here to here.
Mm.
Looked like Frankenstein, like 20 staples across my head. They shaved this side of my head. And it's funny, you know, a year before, even 6 months before I'd had this, if you'd said to me, oh, you're going to be poorly, you're going to have part of your head shaved, I'd be really worried about having my head shaved.
Yeah.
But actually, when you're in it, you don't give a monkeys. I didn't care at all that I had it shaved, not one bit. Just didn't bother me, because you're just grateful to be alive, and you're like, I don't care what I look like, I'm just here still, thankfully. That's when I was recovering and I was in hospital, I couldn't see the boys because I looked like Frankenstein and had tubes coming out of my head, tubes coming out of, it was horrible. That's when I came up with the idea for Scamp and Dude, because I was missing them so much and I was worrying about them missing me. Mm. And I was worrying about how they'd be feeling and what they'd be doing, and thinking, God, I wish there was something I could have given them that would just make them feel a bit better and feel like I was still close. And that's when I thought, I was just, because I had a lot of time to lie there and think. And I thought, oh, what could I have given them? When I was a little girl, I had to go into hospital when I was about five, and my mum couldn't stay over. And in the end, I was quite traumatised by it, and I started wetting the bed and having separation anxiety. And mum took me to a hypnotist in the end. And the hypnotist said, right, put a chair next to her bed. And when I was under, he said, the Snow Queen is sitting next to you every night, keeping you safe, and no one will take you. Because I kept thinking someone's going to take me from my mum and dad.
Yeah.
No one will take you. You're going to be completely safe. And it changed everything. I stopped wetting the bed and I was just myself again.
Really?
I just needed to be told that someone, there was nothing there, it was just a chair.
Mm.
But to a child, I believed there was someone sat there. So that was what I thought of superheroes. I thought, God, I wish I could have given them a little superhero just to say this superhero's watching over you. And then I thought about having my picture in the back. So that's when the superhero sleep buddies were formed, was when I was actually in hospital. They were what I wished I had been available to give to the kids. So they're little cushions shaped. There's a bunny superhero and a dino superhero. And they have a little pocket in the back that you put your photo in. And they sit on the bed and you say, this superhero is watching over you. And mummy's going downstairs now to get dinner on, but she's right here. And that's basically what I wanted. Because, I mean, it's not just parents that are in hospital, and it's not just, mine's quite a severe case, but parents who work, like working parents who had to go away, or you just, you know, you have to have a life. You go away with your friends for a night and you say to your kids that mummy has to go away, but you've got your superhero here watching over you, and there's a photo in the back, or
it's so nice. Or even just like mums and dads who don't always get home in time for bedtime,
exactly.
Just knowing that you have that there watching over you is lovely. Yeah.
And what we do is, as well, because I was obviously worried about leaving my children without a mother, so we donate one for everyone sold. We donate one to Grief Encounter, so they help support children who do lose parents, and also the widow that's left, or the widower, that they support them as well. And I think that's such an important charity, because it's obviously that's so life-changing. If you lose a parent, that's absolutely life-changing. It's devastating for a family, and that's it. You're just sent home to deal with it, and that's it's just awful. So I really feel passionately about this charity, that, and I'm doing everything I can to help. Like, we've got Christmas jumpers, and 100% of the profits are going to Grief and Cancer, because I just want to do everything I can to help them, because we were so lucky. I got better and I came home, but so many don't. So I think it's important.
It's amazing.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And then the clothing line came after that. So once I got home and I was recovering and I was researching making these superhero sleep buddies, I just started getting a bit overexcited and started thinking. I came up with the slogan, "A superhero has my back," and I thought, oh, I'd love that to be on some clothes for kids, on the back of a T-shirt, so that you say to a child when they're going to nursery or they're going to school, off you go, and like, a superhero's got your back, don't worry, we've got your back wherever you are, we've always got your back. And that's how that started. And then the leopard print came because I love leopard print, but I wanted my own unique one that had superpowers, and that's where the lightning bolt came from.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So how did you even, I mean, what was the time scale in terms of you actually recovering and then you launching this? Because that feels like a massive thing to be doing. Are you the kind of person where actually it was good for you to have a bit of a project?
Yeah, it was really good for me to focus on it. And I think, so I had the surgery in January and I launched Scamp and Dude into Liberty in the November. So
that's
it's less
insane.
Than a year. I look back now and I go, that is a bit bonkers.
I had no idea it was that quick.
Yeah. But I think it was my focus. It was like my get well goal. It was like something I could focus on to go, right, because I'd felt poorly for so long.
Yeah.
Since the October when I had the hemorrhoids, I was so bored of being poorly. I was so bored of sitting around. I need to be doing something. And I loved it so much. I enjoyed doing it so much that it wasn't like hard work. It was designing, and it was creating, and it was coming up with a brand, and it was,
and when you're passionate about something,
exactly,
you get such joy out of seeing it flourish.
And I thought I'd had this real thing that I had to do something good. So before my surgery, when I was facing the fact that I might not be okay, that was massively something. It's like that when people talk about the golden gates, definitely happens. And I was there going, have I been good enough? Like, have I done enough good? And I thought, I don't think I have, because I've run a PR company, but what have I done to help others? And I remember saying it to my dad, and my dad was like, you've given so many people jobs. Like, you've had 50 members of staff, you've given all those people jobs, and you've created all this. Now, that's not enough. I need to do more good. I need to help more people. And then it was really bothering me, the thought of single parents going through what I was going through, because I was thinking, who looks after the kids? And they don't have enough support. And that these were the things that were worrying me. And I thought, right, I need to help people. If people lose a parent, or people going through this, or kids. So we don't just donate to Grief and Cancer, we also donate to poorly children. So we work with Great Ormond Street, and now I'm just starting to branch out and help more hospitals and more hospices to give the superhero sleep buddies to as many kids as we possibly can. So if the kids are really poorly, they can have a superhero to watch over them. And I get the most amazing messages from parents saying how much it's helping them to think there's a superhero watching over their child. And it's a, you know, it's a cuddly toy, really, but it means so much more, because it's more of a, it's like a good luck charm. And it's just that feeling of someone has got your kid's back. And that makes me so happy. Because you're like, oh, yes.
So So it must be, I mean, you know, we were chatting earlier and it does sound like your sort of day-to-day is quite hectic for you.
Yeah.
You're juggling all the aspects of running a business.
Yeah.
So that must make it kind of worthwhile when you get those messages through from people. And
yes,
you
definitely.
See how it is helping people. But how different is it from obviously running your own beauty PR company? It must be fair. You must have had to learn new skills, been on a bit of a learning journey to,
yeah.
you know how to run this kind of business. How did you do that?
I mean, I'd never done production before. So as in producing, that was the biggest learning curve, was producing a clothing line, because you had to find the right factory. I mean, the costs and the legal side, as in the safety checks they all have to have, and regulations with fabrics and how they're made. And but I loved learning. I was really excited to be learning. And I think being poorly gave me a real lease of life, that just felt, I had this fire in my belly that I just wanted to learn everything and have new experiences and just live life.
Yeah.
And so I just enjoyed the learning side of it. It was a challenge, and I just thought, well, why can't I do it? And
exactly.
I think it's important not to see barriers and not to think, oh, that feels like a massive slog. Just to think, I can do this. Let's just think logically, find a way. I've got a big old network. I'm sure somebody will know someone that knows this or knows that.
That's brilliant. And you're stocked in some amazing places, aren't you?
Yeah, so we launched into Liberty. That was absolutely mind-blowing, because I love Liberty so much. That store is so special. Mm. And I had a meeting with the buyer. We followed each other on Instagram, and she messaged saying she'd love to know what I was doing next when I left my PR company, because she was the beauty buyer.
Right.
And I messaged back and said, well, actually, it's not beauty, it's kids. And she said, well, as fate would have it, I'm now head of kids and beauty.
Oh, wow.
Like, oh, my goodness, I'm kidding. So I went in to see her, and I didn't have any samples. I just had my designs and my brand story, and I just told her about it. And she just went, I want it all. And I just couldn't actually believe it. I tried to act cool, going, okay, that's great, yes. And then I literally...
Inside, you must have been like, oh.
Yeah, I left the meeting and I just started crying as I was walking down the steps, got outside, bawling my eyes out, rang my mum and dad going, oh my goodness, they want to, oh my God. Like, it was just like a end of everything I'd been through. It was almost... like that had all come to a head, and this was going to be great. And it was a real moment. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Like launching into Liberty as well, seeing it, going in on the day we launched and seeing it in the store. Oh my goodness. It was so, I still get butterflies when I go in and see it now.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And we've launched now into Harvey Nichols, and we've just gone into Harrods as well. And Harrods have been absolutely great. They've been a great team. We've got a lovely space there, and yeah, it's a bit of a pinch yourself. You're like, how are you in all these stores? This is amazing.
That's so cool. And are you also stocked by independent retailers as well?
Yes, we've been very choosy as to where we've gone, because I don't want to be everywhere. I want to make sure it's special and we're only available in certain places. And our website is, very busy, and I don't want to suddenly be available everywhere. And so we're in a store in Highgate, not so big shop. We're in Our Kid in Manchester. We're in Duck Duck Goose in Derby. We are in Indian Will in Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
We're in Sandy Toes, which is a very sweet little holiday shop, kids' holiday shop.
I love that you can just name them. You know every single shop that you're stopped in.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We're in Alex and Alexa as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's so exciting. And you've got your Christmas designs it.
Yes, the new Christmas jumpers. Yeah. Yes. So they're our little charity initiative. So they have just launched, and yeah, hoping to sell as many as we can and help Grief Encounter.
That's so amazing. And what do your boys remember of all of this? I mean, are they aware of like the background? Because obviously they know that Mummy now runs Scamp and Do.
Yes.
And, you know, they're aware of the jumpers and, you know, the cushion, but are they aware of the why you're doing it? And...
They know. I think if you ask them, they'd say, Mummy wants to help children, because we took them when we first dropped the first batch off at Great Ormond Street. We took the boys with us, and it was Christmas Eve last year. And so they knew that we were giving them to the children who had to be in hospital over Christmas, and they knew that that's what we were doing it for. And they're very proud because Sonny knows that he's scamp and Jude's dude. Oh, okay. So they're very proud of that. And they often say, like, Jude will go, I dude, Sonny scamp. You're like, yes.
That's so cool.
And they know when they're wearing that it's there, it's theirs and they're part of it.
So is that their nickname? Is that why you called it scamp and dude?
Yeah, yeah. Well, really, scamp is Jude's, I'm more just, I don't really call him dude all the time. It's just, I love the sound of it. Yeah. And I thought, he is a dude, so therefore, yeah. Let's call it Scamp and Dude. Because it was about that it was created because of them and not being with them, so it felt right to call it. But I didn't want to call it Sonny and Jude because there's a lot of brands that call it the children's name.
That's
so
really
I wanted
common,
to do something a bit different.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
Scamp and Dude.
When they're old enough to really fully understand what you've been through, they're going to be so proud of you.
I've kept two of each of the main pieces of press so that I can give it to them at some point and hope that they understand and they kind of get it and think, wow, that was cool. And they were a part of it because the press talks about them as well, obviously, and there's pictures of them. And I hope they think, oh, wow, that's cool.
They're bound to. Absolutely.
Yes, good.
Okay, Jo, I've got a few quick-fire questions for you. Okay. I'm just changing the tone slightly. Who's your own personal favourite superhero?
Oh, of the real superheroes?
Yes, real superheroes.
Oh, it has to be Batman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because of his cool mask.
Because he's cool. He's quite hot.
That's which version.
He's cool. He's got attitude, but he's obviously very lovable as well.
Yeah.
Like we took the boys to see the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, it was so funny,
and
isn't it?
It was so funny. And it was just brilliant. And we would love it. I love watching it. It's one of my favourite ones to put on if we're watching a film. Like, let's put the Lego Batman on.
It's one of those good ones that is funny for the kids and it's really funny for the grown-ups. Yeah. It's really
brilliant.
Good. Okay, wallet, keys and phone aside, what's the one thing that you never leave home without?
Wallet... keys, phone. I've usually got my laptop with me, my diary.
I'm
very old school when it comes to diaries. I like my paper diary.
Yes,
and so many people give me grief about this and go, it should be on your phone.
No.
But I have a Smyson's diary every year that has the diary here and the notes page there. So it's like my to-do list on there. And
nice.
I love it.
Has it got anything written on it? Any special, anything embossed or anything?
No.
Like your initials?
No, I don't have my initials. But I literally have everything in there and any codes or anything like that, everything's in there. So every year I transfer all that little data that I need over, start my fresh, and it's just a little joy for me.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get rid of my paper diary.
I think there is something nice in this digital world. There is definitely something to be said for keeping things, you know, on paper and having something in your hands.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
I have Lucky Charms as well. My mum gave me some Lucky Charms before I had my operation. And I carry them around with me too. And one of my friends, Nick, she sent me a Lucky Charm too, so that's in the bag. And I was contacted after my story came out. I was contacted by a girl who was going through the same surgery, and she had a little boy, and she was going through all the same feelings that I went through.
Mm.
And she was having her surgery in Paris, and I posted her my good luck charms. I said, I've got them, they work for me, I'm going to send them to you.
You sent her your good... Oh, my goodness.
And she had them, and she... They arrived. She was messaging me going, my surgery's today and I haven't got them.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, I sent them. I literally paid to get them express delivery to her.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to track it. And I was like, they're there. And her husband brought them in and she was so relieved because she was relying on these charms. And then I did an event in Liberty, it was a Meet the Founder event. And she turned up at the event with her mum with my Lucky Charms to give them back to me.
Aww.
Oh my goodness, we're all sobbing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And she's okay now.
And she's fine and she got through it. And we're still in touch. She wants to help out doing and get involved because it means so much to her having gone through a very similar thing.
That's incredible. Jo, thank you so much for being my guest today. It has been a joy to talk to you. You're a very inspiring lady.
Thank you.
And yeah. It's been great. Thank you. Thank you once again for listening. If you enjoy the podcasts, then please do leave a review on iTunes because it helps other people discover the podcast and it pushes me up the charts, which is all good. So thank you again for listening and I'll catch up with you next time.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.